quickly, please, Luke chapter 1, John and God. The last verse of Luke chapter 1. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Have you got that? Here's the Baptist growing up, but notice, he was in the deserts, plural, until the day of his showing unto Israel. Here's a man in private with a variety of experience before he goes out publicly. This is always the way. Moses will be 40 years on the backside of the desert ere he's commissioned at the burning bush. Elijah will be in the fastnesses of Gilead before he appears unto Ahab. Saul of Tarsus will be yonder 3.5 years ere he will come forth to preach. You don't miss it. The greatest of all teachers was 30 years in private of Ian Public. The ratio of the service of Christ was 10-1. 30 in private for 3 in public. Is that not our problem? Is that why there's not so many amongst us and they just talk? You can't afford to be in the spotlight too much. You can't afford to come up here having spent less time with God than you're going to spend speaking on a platform. There's always the private before the public. There's always the sanctuary before the street. There's always equipment before endeavour. We'll need to be prepared to make the sacrifices. You'll never be able to serve God if you're not alone with God. And if the Lord's coming as quick as it seems to be, it's high time. A lot of you younger folks, lower your sights. Be content with a few $1,000s a year less and do something for God. I'm the case, Lord. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Now you're told, verse 1, 5 big men in the political world. Isn't that right? Caesar, Pilate, Herod, Philip, Lysanias. 5 big men in the political world. The opening of verse 2, 2 big men in the religious world. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest. Listen, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. God bypassed the big political men and religious men to give the Baptist his message. When you open Luke's gospel, you are faced with the world's 7 and God's 7. You see? You're introduced to the world's 7. Here they are here. In verses 1 and 2. But you have God's 7. Zacharias and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna and John the Baptist. Isn't that right? Here are the world's 7. When God talks about his 7, now in our version, he'll take 80 verses in chapter 1, 52 in chapter 2, and 20 in chapter 3. When God's going to talk about his 7, he'll take 152 verses to tell you. But when God looks at the world's 7, political and religious, he dismisses them in a verse and a half. And after all, while God does governmentally operate in relation to the universe, the great thing is the service of God. And we're looking here, so to speak, at the last of the 7. And notice, please, God bypassed the big political and religious men and the world. The preposition means pressure from above. Here was God preparing his servant. Here was God pressing his message into his soul.
Here was God mastering the man, giving him the message until it burned in his heart and burned in his soul, and he longed for the time to deliver it. The word of God came upon John, mastered by God.
Yonder in the silence of the sanctuary of God to receive your message, you can hardly wait to deliver it. Now you've known the opposite, haven't you? You've been up here and you've been on for half an hour and every day, including yourself, you wasn't a message. But your memory and your intelligence kept you going.
Listen, in Britain, when we talk about teachers, we're not talking about full-time men. We would use the word teacher, and everybody did a teacher. Don't be ambitious to be a teacher. There's scores of them. Any amount of them.
Be ambitious to be a man, a message from God. And see to it when you get up there to get it.
Don't spend all your time on introduction when you've no time to give the message. You make sure it's sent of God that you'll give the message of God. Yonder in the sanctuary, with the light of the eternal playing upon him, God prepared and molded and fashioned the man for the time when he would stand forth and deliver his message.
John, in relation to God, back to John 1, and he a man sent from God.
Here he is in the mold of the Old Testament prophets. These men would go up and say, the word of the Lord came unto me. Would come as a burden to them. Brethren were needing authoritative teaching and preaching. God's not interested in what you and I think. What we need is men who will declare the word of God in all its primitive excellence and apostolic authority. Men who'll come from God. Men who'll fear God more than they fear their brethren.
There was a man sent from God. His name was. Now John, in relation to Christ. You know, John had a great appreciation of Christ. You know, that's what gives richness to ministry. Your appreciation of the Son of God.
Not in verse 29. John will stand and say, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Revelation. You'll go through and read all about the Lamb. The Lamb prophesied and all the rest of it. But now there comes the time when John proclaims him. The Lamb of God, able to take away the sin of the world.
He did that judicially. Will come again when they'll take it away completely and introduce an eternal state.
Isn't that right? So that verse 29, John 1, it's Calvary.
But you got your eye to verse 32 and 33.
John says, talking about what you've heard, the anointing at the river, John says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. John was watching that. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost. The Lamb of God is Calvary.
Baptizer with the Holy Spirit is Pentecost.
But look now again, please, at John 1, will you? And still John and Christ, drop your eye this time, please, to verse 15.
Well, I didn't see him looking.
John bear witness of him and Christ, saying, this was he of whom I say, he that cometh after me is prepared before me, for he was before me.
I was.
Did you notice in that verse that John is preaching about the person of Christ? Did you notice that he's talking about the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ? He that cometh after me?
His humanity.
He's prepared before me, for he was before me, the deity of Christ. Is that right?
Oh, I wish to God in the simple language I could tell out.
nothing so great as to speak of Christ. I want you to notice something. Did you notice it in the verse? He's handling the person of Christ. He's speaking about humanity and deity. Yeah. 4 times he mentioned himself, and you never noticed it. Listen, look at it again, will you? This was he of whom I speak, number 1. He that cometh after me, number 2, is preferred before me, number 3. For he was before me. 4 times he mentioned himself and you never noticed it. Oh, Bill, usually you talk about men hiding behind the cross and preaching. But oh, the greatness to handle Christ. And while you handle it according to the measure of the gift that God has given you, people are impressed with Christ. Here's John, and as he preached and ministered, he learned to pay himself out. Isn't that right? You never notice he pays himself out. And he notes more. John had a godly mother. Isn't that right? Her name was Salome. John never told you that. You need to go to the other Gospels. For John had learned not only to pay himself out, but to pay his family out. And he was in a lot of trouble. It was because the men can neither feed themselves out nor their families. Got it? Now, just a passing reference, please. You don't need to turn to it. In Luke 1, verse 15, you have the Baptist and the Holy Spirit. You will remember that the angel speaking to Zechariah, the father, he says of the Baptist, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Here we're at it again. Remember, we were at it the other night. Men and women consecrated to God don't touch wine nor strong drink. The Bible's clear. Look at me, will you? And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. A man filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. God has taken control of the child from the beginning. Now when you come to Nazariteship, you'll need to make a difference between a Nazarite by divine appointment and a Nazarite by vow. You see, there were men who were Nazarites by divine appointment. Samson was one. But God expected that the man Nazarite by appointment would be a real Nazarite by vow. The Baptist was that. Isn't that right? Samson? When I was a wee boy, I thought Samson was a great man. I tell you, he's a strange mixture of flesh and spirit. He'll go as near the thing prohibited as he can get. Do you do that? He'll never touch a dead body, but he'll handle the jawbone of an ass. He'll never be drunk, but he'll get it from the ass. And in the end, it costs him his sight and his life. I haven't time, I'm not dealing with him. No one to reflect. John and the Holy Spirit. Oh, for men filled with the Holy Spirit. Come now. John now, in relation to the audience. And then to whom he preached. What do I do that man? Now, in this question of the audience here, everything turns on 2 questions. Verse 19. Who art thou? Verse 25. Why baptizest thou? Now we've heard mention has been made of John. Now, I want you to notice something. Here's John out preaching, isn't that right? Oh, what a man. Dictating morals to the nations. Getting the ear of Herod the king. John didn't need to go looking for an audience. They flocked to the desert to hear him. A man sent from God. And there he is. You can understand it. Here's this stranger that's come on the scene. Nobody knows him. But speaking, the crowds are flocking and everything. Who is it? Not right. Just the same as we do. Who is it? Now, look at verse 19. Who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Good John. Good John. They thought he was, but he'll not bask in any reflected glory. I am not Christ. All right then, John. What then? Are you Elijah? You look like him. The leather and Gilgal. and the hairy coat. You look like Elijah. Art thou Elijah?
He said, I am not. Good, son. Good.
All right, the same. Come, follow it down. Are you the prophet that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18? God will raise up a prophet like unto me. Are you the prophet, the unnamed prophet of Deuteronomy?
No, he says, I'm not.
All right then, now we're down at verse 22. The back at it, who art thou? Come on now, who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of thyself?
Oh, brethren, you don't have one.
Who are you? What do you say of yourself?
I tell you to handle this. I tell you to move out of this.
Eh? You don't know me? You mean to tell me you've never heard of me? Don't you know it was Isaiah prophesied about you? Chapter 42, in case you want to. You never heard of me? Don't you know I'm the man that God prepared in the wilderness? Don't you know I'm the man sent forth by God? Don't you know I'm the forerunner of the Messiah? Don't you even know it's my business to tell out the presence of the Christ? You don't know me.
Oh, my brother, we can never be brother. What's this man? He says, I'm a horse. Just a horse. A voice crying in the wilderness.
A voice pointing to the world. Say, are you ambitious to be anything more than that? Just to raise your voice and point to Christ. That's it. Now, read on now. Okay? Now we come now to verse 25. And he said, why are you baptizing? You're none of these big men. Why are you baptizing? Now, I like this. You see, people listened to John and they got the impression. If you believe this man's message, you'll need to get into the water. You'll need to be baptized. The impression was right. Why baptizest thou? That's right, isn't it? See, there are two ordinances in relation to Christianity, the table and the tank. And if you had lived in Old and New Testament times and said you were saved, not baptized, nobody would believe you. The great thing was the public testimony and baptism. No such thing envisaged as an unbaptized believer.
Got any idea? Why baptizest thou then? Now, watch now please, 26 and 27.
John said, I baptize with water, there standeth one among you whom ye know not.
What's this now?
He it is, who coming after me is prepared before me.
Watch now, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose.
Now he says, listen, you ask me why I baptize after him. But he says that here's one coming, and he says, in his presence, I'm nothing. It's the contrast of the slave to the master, yet it's not. Listen.
Is that not true? It wasn't, it wasn't.
You see, who was it that untied
the thong of the sandal for his master?
The slave. That's his job.
John says, whose shoes latch it, I am not worthy to this.
I'm not even worthy to take the place of a slave before the glory of the Master, the wonder of Christ, the presence of Him who is Son of God and baptizer with the Holy Spirit, the Lamb of God, I'm unworthy. And He's down as low as He can get, down below the ground.
That's the monstrous. You think there's nobody like this?
You've got about like paragons, eh?
And here's one of God's greatest servants, and he's on the ground, and he said, I'm nothing, I'm left.
You're nothing. You're nothing. Nothing. I'll tell you more, you never were anything. I'll tell you more. If you are anything tonight, if you're God, it's nothing. We're not self-made men and women. We're spirit-made, spirit-formed, spirit-molded.
after Christ. Oh.
John had got the ear of Herod. Now, Herod is one of the most tragic figures in the Gospels. Probably the most tragic. You see, Herod was the only person that Christ refused to speak to. I know at times he was silent before Pilate, but he would speak to Pilate. He refused utterly to speak to Herod. Now, if Christ refuses to speak to any person, they're as good as damned. Now, you may not believe these things. That doesn't matter. There came a point of no return, and Herod passed. But John could speak. One day, John was faced with a big decision. Listen now, Herod had taken his brother Philip along and was living in an adulterous association. I hope you're not living, eh? Watch that. John told him. You know, right to that man. Herodias, the woman's furious. Herod's not too happy in doing this. One day they held a big party. And the drink's flowing. Suddenly, Herodias' daughter comes in dancing sensually. Body movement. And Herod inflamed with drink. Carried away by the devil. Promised her anything she wanted, up to half of the kingdom. She went to her mother for advice. She said, this was not a long time. You asked for the head of John. Now, when Herod had promised that he promised it an oath, he swore, absolutely, that after the habit of him. And when she came and asked for the head of the Baptist, he was sorry. Felt that, you know, but because of his oath, he felt he had to go through it. All human nature is strange, eh? He had a conscience about breaking this so-called oath. No conscience for living the earth. How do you say he was in a dilemma? What could he do? Well, he could have done something of this. Quite easily, no problem. He says, you, I don't see it. Well, I'll tell you. All he needed to say to the dancing girl was this. Listen, John the Baptist's head's not in that happy thing. John the Baptist's head's not in that half of the kingdom. He died. He couldn't answer you. Strange. You know, there are things that are not explicable. You can't explain. You see, I'm quite convinced that long age is not necessarily divine to me. Now, if I live tonight, I'll think it is. Now then, but the Lord dies when he's 32. He's on 6 months old. 6 months older, yeah. Older than Hans. No, I'm not upset by God calling servants home early in life. I can accept that. I can see the hand of God in it. Now, over on the other side, we've lost a lot of people. Now, here's your command. Now, there's only one explanation for why we're here. Now, listen, we were not any better or more gifted than Albert Levy and all these men, some of you need to call them the people. We're not away from that, are you? But there is one who
puts a limit on life. The only answer I know while we're here tonight is found in Philippians 1. Paul had a desire to depart and to be with Christ.
He said, I want to go, Lord. And the Lord says, stay here. Why, that wouldn't be no trouble to us, would it? He would have said, Lord, just you leave us here.
But he says this, it's more needful for you that I remain. That's it. That's it, brother.
Your brother's the same. I've come to the conclusion a long time ago, it's more needful for you that I remain. In case you think I'm getting proud, it's more needful for me that you remain. That's why I'm here.
God could have taken any one of us home. This last year, as he's done hundreds of others, and he's left you. Left you for a purpose, left you for a reason. You believe it?
It's your point and dignity to service and more. I know. I've lived long enough to preach with men and intimate with them. Suddenly, unexpectedly, you were called tragically to die in the road. You go along and look at the place and you wonder how an accident could have happened. Three of those. That's life.
That's life, brethren and sisters. Keep in the center of the will of God and you're immortal till your work is done.
Hey, you won't get the very hair tonight, will you? You won't forget, will you,
that there was a man
sent from God whose name was John?
Just a man, only a man, always a man, ever a man, never anything else but a man in touch with God. Have you ever met them and heard them?
Man sent from God. Well, who wouldn't go out with you behind them? Well, one man in God's a majority.
One man and God are invincible.
Oh, I can be envious at times. I'd love to have lived when the Lord was here, when Paul was here. I'd love to have lived when the Lord was here.
You think those, going up those steps, and suddenly it flashed upon him, justification by faith alone?
He began to proclaim it.
And the whole Roman Catholic system was against him.
And trends for centuries. What could one man do against it, eh?
There came a day when he nailed these Caesars to the door and proclaimed the truth of justification by faith and lit a light in Europe that has never gone out.
I'd have been lucky to decide on that day. Sure enough. Did Martin there? And I was stood there. Look, I could have done that much, I could always say, Martin, I'm here. Hey,
I'm here, Martin. I'll stand by you.
But it wasn't ours to live in days like these. This is our day. Now going into an answer. A man sent from God, whose name oh God, look upon us in mission. We're deeply humble.
Thou dost know our hearts and we feel so unworthy. Just to be called to this privilege beyond measure. Lord, bless these good people. Come here to them. Help them to look to thee. Give us a sense, O God, that we represent thee, just where we are, and as we are. Make us more worthy of him who died for us.
We commend ourselves to thee.
Think of Brother Baker on the morrow, given safe journey. May he bless yonder, as he has blessed us here in his ministry, and undertake in his life.
And so we look to thee and count upon thee. We think of ourselves, tomorrow night, northbound.
Farewell meeting, here again, and lost, O God, we are unable for us.
who is sufficient for these things. Come near to us, O God, and with help. Receive our grateful thanks for all thy bounty and goodness. In the name of the Lord Jesus.